morning. It's wonderful to see you. You know, we've got lots of folks out today and still have a good crowd. I'm always amazed. You know, I thought we were down last week and we were up. So we may be up this week. I don't know. But we have a guest with us today I want to introduce you to. Sir, would you come to the stage? Well, listen real close because he talks weird. Tell them your name.
My name is Wami Hillary Poutintin.
Now, you said it different last service.
What did I say?
You said Poutintin.
Poutintin.
Hillary Wami. Yeah. Okay. Which is it? They do it different than what we do. Say it again.
Wami.
Okay.
Then Hillary Poutintin.
Now, which is your first name?
Is it Wami or Hillary?
Yeah.
Should be Wami.
Should be Wami.
Yeah.
So people call you
Wami.
They call you Wami?
They call me, my friends call me Hill, which is a short form of Hillary. So
are we your friends?
Yeah, great.
Hill.
Yeah.
This is Hill. Take a minute to tell them about yourself and what we're fixing to do.
Okay. I am married I've been married for 23 years, and I'm a father of 5 wonderful kids. I've been around for close to a week now. I'm with pastors, been with Pastor Dave and the wife. They're wonderful people. Paige and their husband, Joe and the wife. You know, I've never met such a wonderful crowd, and I'm so happy being around with them.
Yes.
And I love the worship. I've told them after the first worship that I was too, but the second one was great. I hope the message will be also great like the one of the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. I am from Cameroon, and we are planning to plant a church in the University of Boya. We've discovered that in the university, the kids have peer pressure. They come from their homes, they are going to church in their homes, and when they get to university, they no more go to church, they fall out of church. And the universities are also places where you have lots of occult practices. So I believe a church there is going to do great. And Pastor Dave wants me to be a pastor abroad, he wants to be a pastor overseas. I've been pastoring for 12 years. And this is a great opportunity. And I say thanks. To have a congregation like you behind me, it would be wonderful.
So yes.
I'm grateful.
Yes, 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 yes. Give him a hand. We raised $20,000 year before last to help do this. And they are in the process of purchasing property and believing God for a building and this church, and it's pattering after this one. And if you go to over there, their churches there are not like our churches here. And that's all I need to say about that. But that one there will be more like this one here, and it will reach a target that university and the professors in that university and that in that town, and it's. It's going to be awesome. And I think, I'm trying to think of his name now, Caleb. I think Caleb will probably be part of the lead team there. And he's a young man that Joe and I met when we were over there last year. And we're excited about planting a church in Boyer, Cameroon. So it's good to be that we reach more than just between these four walls and even our city and our area, we're reaching out into the world. We go Honduras, we go to Belize, we go to Africa, I've been to India, we've got ministries over there, we've got wells that we have sponsored over there. It's just awesome what a group of people can do when they work together, give together, pray together, put their gifts together, and just see what God can take and do with it. It's just pretty awesome. I was standing in the back a while ago, and I was talking to somebody, and I said, I'm just enjoying the presence of God and the presence of God's people here today. I love the people I hang out with. I don't know all your names, but doggone, I love being around you guys. You're awesome, and your worship is awesome, and so it's just good to get to be just a small part of what God is doing in this place here. It takes us all to get the job done. You know what? In every part is important. And there's not one part that's more important than any other part. And we have to see our part as important. If you see your part as important, then you'll do it well. If you esteem it lower, well, I'm not the pastor. Well, if you will esteem your part as important as being the pastor, you'll do a better job at what you do. You know that? You will. If you see giving as important, if you see serving as important, it's just amazing what God can do with that. When we give our efforts together to do that, it doesn't add, it multiplies. And when God starts multiplying something, it's pretty awesome. It's just pretty awesome to be a part of something like that. We're going to begin a new series today. And this is going to be different in a way. You know, I do a lot of practical teaching about life and how to live life and how you can apply. And this one will be practical, but it's a little technical too, because we're going to do a teaching on the Trinity. And one of the reasons that we're going to do this teaching on the Trinity, because there's so many false concepts about God out there. You know, as a kid, and we all get a mental picture. You know, we do think in pictures a lot of times, and we get a mental picture of what God looks like. When I was a kid, I thought he was this old man with a long white beard, long white robe, with a big stick in his hand, waiting for me to do something wrong so he can bop me on the head. Does anybody else have a picture that kind of looked like that? I'm the only weird one. He kind of looks like Gandalf, you know. But, you know, he really doesn't look like that. That's not what he looks like. And, you know, I read a book called, I forgot the name of the book now, Contemplating the Almighty. And it deals with the different attributes of God. And when you get to thinking about him being omnipresent, all present, that he is present in creation. And, you know, I get to thinking about that. It's easy to think, well, he's here with us today at Believers, and he's over at Jubilee, and he's at First Assembly, and First Baptist, and, you know, First Methodist, and he's in all. But he's everywhere present, not just on earth, in universe. And I just want you to wrap your mind around this a little bit. The nearest star to our sun is over 4 light years away. Now, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. If you multiply that by 60, that's how far it travels in a minute. And 60 again in an hour. And then by 24, that's how far it travels in a day. If you multiply that by 365.25, that's how far it travels in a year. And it's over 5 trillion miles. One light year is 5 trillion miles. And if you multiply that by 4 point whatever, you're over 20 trillion miles that the closest star is to our sun. That's pretty big, isn't it? 20 trillion, not billion, trillion miles away from our sun. God inhabits. And that's the average distance between stars. And there are 500 billion trillion stars in the known universe. And if there's that average distance between each of those stars, how big is our universe? And let me ask you a bigger question than that. How big is our God? He's not Gandalf the Magnificent. He is huge. Now, we can't wrap our minds around. See, we have finite brains. That means limited. God is infinite. He's incomprehensible. Knowing and enveloping him is beyond our capacity. We have wonderful brains. Dr. Caroline Leaf says that we have brain capacity in memory and function that should last us 3 million years. So there's not a computer on earth that matches our brain. But yet, we can't comprehend the incomprehensible, the finite. Even at 3 million year capacity, our brains are still finite. It has limit. But we're trying to encompass an unlimited God in our thinking, and we can't. And that's why he made it a little bit easier for us, because God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we call him Jesus Christ. So it's a little bit easier to connect with God in our thinking. But understand that God is so much bigger than you have ever, ever imagined. And if he is bigger than the universe, and the universe is just gigantic, how big is our God? How great is our God? How wonderful is our God? So we're going to begin, there it is. The Trinity, that's what we're calling it, the Trinity. And there is a picture, a symbol of what the Trinity is like. I want to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to begin some stuff here. And you say, well, how and what practicality does all of this have with us? Is it important that I understand and comprehend about the Trinity? And I'm going to say yes. Because there's so many erroneous teachings out there. See, there's some people who teach that Jesus was created by God. And you may think that. In fact, there are some who teach that Jesus is really Michael the Archangel. You say, well, what would that matter if he was? Well, then he wasn't a man. You know, there's two things you need to know. Angels don't become humans, and humans don't become angels. Have you ever heard people say, oh, you know, they died and they went to heaven, now they're an angel? No, you're still a human. You're not an angel. You're never going to be an angel. They may be your little angel while they're here on earth, but they're not really angels. Angels are created beings. They don't multiply. You know, they don't. They're different. We're different species. And if Jesus was an angel, then he wasn't a man. If he wasn't a man, then he couldn't die for our sins. If he couldn't die for our sins, then we're still lost. Okay? So what you understand about God is important. It is significant. And it's, even though you're not going to comprehend everything about God, you need to know enough that you can stay true. You can stay true. When you hear something that's askew, then you will know it's askew. It's not right. There's something not right about it. You know, people who work in banks, they handle money all the time. And a lot of times, they'll get a bill, and by the feel, they know there's something not right about this bill. It's counterfeit. And you can know God so well and be around and be taught correctly that when you hear something that is not quite right, there's something on the inside of you will say, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. So what we're going to do, I'm going to introduce this to you today, and then we're going to start unpacking it. We're going to get into more scripture. But I want to share a little bit of confusing scripture with you today. And I understand how people get messed up where the Trinity is concerned. In fact, there are those who do not believe in a Trinity. There are those who teach that here's God, and he plays the role of Father, and then he comes back, and he plays the role of the Son, and then he comes back, and then he plays the role of the Holy Spirit, and he comes back. Is that true? We'll find out. John 5:37. And the Father himself, this is Jesus talking, who sent me, So Jesus is making a distinction between himself and the Father. Has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Now, had they seen Jesus? I mean, he's standing there talking to them. This is easy. Had they seen Jesus? Yes. Had they heard it? Did they hear his voice? Yes. But he says, you've not seen or heard the Father. Okay, so he makes a distinction there. Then John 14, verses 5 through 9. Thomas said to him, Lord, I got Jason's problem. I'm not in recovery. We do not know where you are going. Not from alcohol and drugs anyway. Other things. How can we know the way? Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is he making a distinction between himself and the Father? Yes, he is. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, it sounds like he contradicts himself here, doesn't it? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. It is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now it sounds like he's saying, I am the Father. So it's a little bit confusing. In fact, throughout church history, this has always been a controversy. In fact, as early as 325 A.D., 325 years after Christ, that there was a controversy that rose in the early church. There were two men. One was Arius and the other one was Athanasius. And Arius taught that Jesus was not God, and that the Holy Spirit was an angel. And a lot of people followed after this teaching about Arius. So Athanasius refuted what is called the Arian controversy or the Arian heresy. So they had the council, and there were several councils that they had. They had two, what's called the Nicaea Council, where they adopted what is called the Nicene Creed. So we have the Apostles' Creed. Has anybody ever said the Apostles' Creed? If you were raised Methodist, Catholic, some of the liturgical churches. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Did anybody ever recite that creed? How many of you did not recite that creed? You don't know what a creed is. Well, those creeds came because of erroneous teachings in the early church. And so they had these councils where these church fathers got together and took the scripture and they decided what was true and what was not true. So in order to keep the church from going into error, they adopted these creeds that people would say. You know the song we sang a while ago? Oh, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit who's given us new life. That's almost like a creed. You know, and I think it's important, the songs that we sing, that they need to be true to the Word of God. Why? Because you'll learn more by singing. Singing will stick with you more than just about anything else. I mean, Winston tastes good like a... Now, you have to go way back. Like a cigarette should. Does anybody remember that? Look at there. There's some old folks out here. Jingles. I mean, they stay with us. They stay in our minds. I could sing some more, but I better not. Something about some kind of beer or something. But music sticks with us. So it's, you know, it's in, even important in the songs that we sing that they be filled with good theology. Good theology, and people don't like the word theology. Theologist means the study of God and the study of truth. We need good doctrine. See, you don't get to make up. You can if you want to. You can make up your own doctrine. I know the Bible says this, but let me tell you what I believe. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's real good. No, it don't matter what your opinion is. If we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, it's important that we stay with the Bible. Not conform the Bible around our opinions, but form our opinions around the Word of God. That's the important thing that we need to do as followers of Christ. You know, you're really only a follower of Christ if you follow Christ. And the only way to follow Christ is to follow what He taught. See, you can be a follower in name only. I don't want you to be a follower in name only. I want you to follow Him in deed. That means that we conform our lives around what He says and what He thinks. And my opinion is not worth a dime unless it lines up with His. You know, that's one of the reasons when I say to you I'm teaching and I say, now, this is my opinion. See, you have a right to disagree with my opinion. But if I'm preaching the Word of God and you're a Christ follower, you really don't have the right. You can if you want to. But really, as a Christ follower, that needs to have more weight than just somebody's opinion. And I try not to do a whole lot of opinions, but sometimes I just have an opinion. Just kind of like you. You ever see people with opinions? They get on Facebook and they post their opinions. Okay, let's move on. Well, in 325 A.D., they got together. And I'm going to read this to you because we're kind of use this. I want to read this to you so you can kind of understand that, you know, Arius taught that Jesus was not divine, that He was created, that the Holy Spirit was an angel, therefore He was created. And really, there's only one person in God. The rest of it is something it's not co-eternal, it's not co-equal, it's different. And Athanasius thought that was wrong, so they got together at this council and they adopted this to distribute to the churches so that they could keep them on course and keep them from going into error. And you know, creeds and things like catechisms, some of you don't know what a catechism is, but catechisms, they play an important role in shaping our understanding about God and who He is. Okay, so let me read this to you. This is a little complicated, but we're going to go back in the next week or so, and we're going to get into Scripture and see who the Bible calls God. Okay? We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the person nor divided in the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible or unlimited, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty, and yet they are not three almighties, but one Almighty. Are you getting this? Okay. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not three gods, not polytheism, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet not three lords, but one Lord. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal. So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. Now, I encourage you to Google the Athanasian Creed and read the whole creed, because I think it just behooves us as Christians to see what our church fathers have passed to us. And this can help us in our understanding. Now, the final authority is what? Scripture. Scripture is the final authority, and we're going to get into that. But I wanted to introduce you to that. There are so many things that have been taught that are wrong. You know, and we need to try to be as doctrinally pure as we can be. Now, I don't know anybody that has it all together 100%. But let's say that you believe something about the Godhead that's just off about that much. That don't seem to be much right there. But as it unfolds, what happens? It gets wider and wider apart. And the first thing you know, it just leads you totally away from the truth. So we need to strive to be as scripturally correct, especially in our understanding of God. And you know, if somebody says, you know, Jesus is not God. In fact, there's one teaching, and we'll get into this later, but there's one teaching that says that Jesus was just a man, and at his baptism God adopted him. Well, is there a problem with that? If he was just a man, then he was born with sin. Can a man born in sin bear the sins of those who are lost? No. Did Jesus have to be perfect? Yes. And for that to happen, there had to be this being that was man and God. Someone who had standing with God, who could represent man to God, and someone who had standing with man that could represent God to man. So it's important. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, it does. It matters what you believe, because we need to try to stay on course. So let me introduce some stuff to you here, and then we're gonna pray and worship. But this statement, in essence, God is one, and he's indivisible. Now, what do we mean by essence? The basic, real, and invariable nature of a thing or a substance. When we turn and we look at this diagram up here, how many gods do we see there? One God. How many persons do we see there? We see three: Father, Son, Spirit. Notice it says the Father is not the Spirit, the Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. But Father is God, Son is God, and Spirit is God. Okay? In essence, in makeup, they're all the same. Have you ever wondered or said or heard somebody say that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are different gods? Is that true? If this is true, then that's not true. Well, but it seems so different. There were different covenants. Same God, different covenants. What was God doing in the Old Testament? He was defining what evil was. Why was he defining what evil was? Because man was evil. But see, where there is no law, there's no penalty for law. Okay? So what is he doing? He is defining evil. What is he doing in the new covenant? He is dealing with that evil. He did that on the cross. He judged our evil. See, we are evil. If you sin one time, you're evil. How many of us have been evil? Well, we got some little angels here. No, we don't. We're all evil. Have you ever told a lie? I mean, when your wife says, "Honey, does this dress make me look..." No, you liar. See, you're evil. That's a necessary evil, isn't it? But if you sin one time, you're evil. You're no different than the worst sinner in the world. So our evil, what is evil? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So what was God doing in the new testament? Was it the same God, the same Father, the same Son, the same Spirit that condemned sin in the Old Testament and brought judgment? In the New Testament, he brought judgment. He brought that judgment on God the Son, man and God. So that in eternity, he can show us all of his goodness. See, sometimes that's hard for us to comprehend. If we do not have an understanding of that, we will misunderstand the whole Bible. Okay, so in essence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are, in nature, they're the same. See, they don't differ in opinion. They don't differ in will. They're all the same. Okay? Are there three persons? Yes. Same essence? Yes. And then the second one is they're indivisible. What does that mean? They cannot be divided. Look at this. What happens if we take away one leg of this triangle? What do we have? Do we have a triangle? No. It takes every corner for that to be a triangle. You cannot divide the triangle. You cannot divide God. He's one in essence. And he's indivisible. He cannot be divided. Okay, let's look at the word Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the concept is there. Tri-unity. That's three in unity. In unity, there are not more. There are not two gods or more. How many gods are there?
One.
Tri-unity. In simplicity, there are not two or more parts in one God. It's one God in three persons. But there is the simplicity. There are not more than one part. In triunity, there are three distinct persons in one God. Okay. So let's kind of sum this up. Next week, we're going to talk about contrasting views. And then we're going to get into the Bible basis for triunity or Trinity. And then we may look at some illustrations. We may even quote some songs that has good doctrine in it. And we're going to look at some things. I don't know how many weeks this is going to take. It's just going to take what it takes. Because I want us to get a grounded understanding of this so that when we hear something, when somebody, you work with somebody and they make some off-of-the-wall statement and you say, that can't be right. Or somebody comes knocking at your door and they're telling you that Jesus was an angel. He wasn't. He's not God. Wrong. So that you won't be open to deception. See, if your foundation is right, you're going to be hard to move. You're going to be hard to deceive. But if you don't know what you believe, or you just made up something, you're going to be easy to deceive. Okay. Number one, there's only one God who is eternal and unchanging. Number two, there are three different eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they're what? One God. The Father, the Son, number three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are identified as being full deity. That is, the Bible teaches the deity of the Father, the deity of Christ, and the deity of the Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. But the Father is God, the Spirit is God, and the Son is God. And they are all one and cannot be divided. As the triangle cannot be divided because it would not be a triangle, therefore God cannot be divided. Did you get that?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me pray over you. We're fixing to stand and worship. And prayer team, would you, if you'd come, we've got plenty of time. We've got 11 minutes till 12. We can get you. We can beat the Baptist to Western Sizzling. We don't have Western Sizzling anymore, do we? To wherever. But prayer team, if you would come, help us out here. You know, if you have a need today, we got people right here that can pray for you, pray with you. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you need to find Him as Lord and Savior. They'll pray with you to do that here today. And then you can take the next step in a couple of weeks and be baptized, or maybe that's next week, isn't it? This is the last Sunday of the month, I think. But anyway, you can take that next step. Or maybe you just have a need in your life. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you got a problem. Maybe you got a burden. You just need somebody to pray with you. We'll let you come and do that. But let me pray over the word today. Lord, open our hearts. Give us understanding and insight that we can be solid, that our base can be solid, that we comprehend to a degree you who are incomprehensible. You're larger than we ever imagined. Lord, we're glad that we know you today. Lord, speak to your people. Bless their lives with your word today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you come? Stand with me and let's